Welcome to Centre Church. We hope you enjoyed this message, recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
Yeah, I'll be speaking on the things that excites God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I'm taking my scriptures from Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. The Bible says, can you see the slide? Yeah, that's good. The Bible says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you look at the scripture, God was talking to the children of Israel through Jeremiah. And he was telling them that these are the things that I'm excited, I'm interested about. These are the things that excites me. And these are the things that I want you to understand, and I want you to know it. So it's so much to talk about three of them, so I'm going to just, for the sake of time, talk about the loving kindness of God. Because there's so much if you want to talk about everything, we don't have the time. So I'm just going to focus on the loving kindness of God. The Bible says that we should not glory in our wisdom or our riches or our might, but we should glory, if there's anything that we should boast about, is the fact that we understand and we know that God is a loving and a kind God. And the question is, why is God delighted about we knowing or having that understanding that he is a loving and kind God? After all, we come to church, we sing about the loving kindness of God, but he still wants us to not just know, but to understand. Because the word delight there means that he's happy about it. He wants us to know. He's happy when we have the understanding, when we have the knowledge. He derives pleasure. He's joyful when we have that understanding that he is a loving and a kind God. See, loving and kindness is not just what God does. It is who he is. That is his nature. That is his being. That is his character. Hallelujah. So that is what God wants us to understand. And he says that this is what I delight. If there's anything you should boast about, if there's anything that you should brag about, is that you understand that I'm a loving and a kind God. So the things that we should know about the loving kindness of God. You know, the Bible talks about the loving kindness of God, and the Bible describes it in different ways. If you look at the Bible, one of the words that the Bible used to describe the loving kindness of God is his mercy. It also talks about the favor. There are some words that are similar to this loving kindness of God, and if you read the Bible, you could be able to, you know, understand that sometimes these words are used interchangeably, you know, for the loving kindness of God. And some of the words is mercy, goodness, favor. And in the New Testament, it is described as grace. So the things to know about God's loving kindness is that the loving kindness of God does not change. It never changed. God's love for us never changed. It does not fluctuate. God does not love us better today than he loves us yesterday. His love is consistent. You know, one thing about man is that somebody can love you today, and maybe you act funny, and the person just hates you. Our love fluctuates based on situations, on things, but the love of God, even when you fall, even when you make mistakes, His love does not change. It does not fluctuate. God does not improve in His love. His love does not get better. Hallelujah. Why? Because His love for us is not predicated on what we have done. His love is not partial. He does not love some certain people more than He loves some other people. He does not love people from a region more than He loves people from another region. Because His love is consistent. It does not fluctuate. The love of God is not predicated on our performance. It is not because of what we do that makes God love us more. Our performance is not because we fast or we give, or it's not because of our services. We come to church, and we do all these things that makes God love us. His love is predicated on what Jesus Christ has done. Because Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that pleases the Father. It's not about our sacrifice. It's not about what we've done. It is because of who Jesus Christ is. It is because of Jesus. That is why the Bible calls Him the mediator. He's the middleman, the man that connects we and God. He's the man that brings that connection between ourselves and God. He is the one that is the sacrifice. There's so much I can talk about it. You know, in the Old Testament, this is not in my slide. In the Old Testament, the way people get accepted by God in the Old Testament is like they come with a lamb, and that lamb is what they present to the priest. And the priest observes the lamb and looked at the lamb, and when the priest approves that the lamb is good for the sacrifice, they lay their hands on the head of the lamb, and the priest accepts the lamb and sacrifice the lamb, and that lamb that is killed covers the sin of the people. Jesus Christ now, and that lamb, the sin of the lamb, the blood of the lamb, could not take away the sin of the people. It only covers their sin for a year, and the sin still remains. The guilt of the sin still remains. You know, the pain, the trauma, the thought of the sin still remains. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, came and took away our sin forever. He is the sacrifice that could only wash our sins. Not just cover it for a year, but took it away forever. And we became acceptable to God because of sin, because of Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that Jesus Christ, that God is no longer angry with us. See, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. So our love for God is not predicated on the things we do, on our performance. In Romans chapter 5, from verse 8 to 10, reading from the New Living Translation, the Bible says, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We were still sinners, but God sent His Son to die for us. And since we have been made right with God, in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we are still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. We were still the enemy of God when God came to save. It was not because we were doing things right. It is not because we were performing our performance. It's not because we are morally right. That was why Jesus Christ said, oh, because these people are living a good life, and they are doing that. That's why, Jesus Christ came to die for us. The Bible says that we are enemies. We are enemies. The best of us here, we are enemies. Can you imagine that? with all our goodness, with all our moral goodness, the best of us, was described in the Bible as enemies. So there's nothing that we do, there's no performance that can equate what Jesus Christ has done. And that is why God wants us to have that understanding, that it was not because of you. In spite of your mistakes, I still love you. And I brought you to myself. And God wants us to have this understanding. So, are you saying that, Emmanuel, are you saying that since God loves us and is not predicated on our performance, we don't need any performance? That means we don't even need to do anything about it. We don't need to, we just live our lives and not commit to the church and not commit to the things of God or give. No, that's not what I'm saying. So the role, what is the role of our giving, our service, our commitment? What role does it play in our life? You could see that in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible says Jesus Christ went to a man, a Pharisee. His name was Simon. He went to his house. And while he was there in the house of this Pharisee, Simon, a woman came to Jesus, and this woman was in tears. She washed the feet of Jesus with the tears from her eyes. She wiped the tears with her hair. She kissed the feet of Jesus and anointed his feet with fragrance. And we know the story as the woman with the alabaster box. Little was this talked about to describe her, but we know the story that she came to meet Jesus. So this woman came serving Jesus, kissing Jesus, cleaning Jesus the tears with her hair. And some people were disgusted. Were like, if Jesus Christ knew who this woman was, he would not allow this woman to come before him, because this woman is a sinner. She doesn't deserve to be near Jesus. She doesn't deserve to get close to Jesus. And Jesus Christ told them a story. He told Simon, two people were owing someone money. 500 denarii, that was the currency at that time, and 50. And the person forgave both of them, and he asked the man, who do you think will love the man enough? And Simon said, the one that owes a lot of money. And Jesus Christ said, yeah, you're right. In verse 44 of Luke chapter 7, it said, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sin, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, she gave little. What Jesus Christ was saying is that her service was a response to the love that I've given to her. Because she recognized the loving kindness of God. She recognized that in spite of who I am, Jesus Christ still loved me. In spite of my mistake, Jesus Christ still accepted me. He still made a room for me. That even when everybody in the community described her as a sinful woman, that you don't deserve to be here, Jesus Christ still accepted her. That is why she served. That is why she worshiped God. So our service, our giving is a response to the loving kindness of God. That is what it should be. Evangelism, coming to church. You know, I've met some people and they feel that they are doing God a favor by coming to church. And they're like, you know, yeah, I would when I'm ready. They don't understand the loving kindness of God. They don't understand that even the bread that they breathe is God. No man has the power to keep himself. A lot of people sleep and they don't wake up. It's not because they have the power. It's not because we have the power to control life. It's by the grace of God. When I look at my life, I see some of the things that would have happened, that if not for the mercy and the love of God, I wouldn't be here. These are the things that makes you depend on him. Hallelujah. So our giving and our service is a response to the loving kindness of God. He does not look at our mistakes. The Bible says that while we were enemies, he still loves us. It's not because of anything that we have. It's because of his mercies. In John chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He did not come to condemn us. He did not come to talk, to tell us about our flaws. You see, there are some people, when they preach, when they talk, I just hear the message and immediately I switch off. Because Jesus Christ did not come to condemn us. He did not come to count our flaws. It's so relevant even at this time as we celebrate Easter. Because this describes the goodness of God. That God will take our place in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. And love us. And make us sit together with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, you can contact us at info@centrechurch.uk or check out our website at www.centrechurch.uk.